Okay. So the history of the earth, mankind, and so what I'll kind of start with is what we're taught. And then we can reconcile it back to the Word. So here you have all the earth. Here's a globe. And you have, here's Africans. Then you have over here Middle Easterns. Then you have China, India, Indonesians. Then you have over here Polynesia. Anybody know what poly means besides dead?
Many.
Good. Many islands. Hawaii, Samoa. Here's all the people in Polynesia's islands. You have South America all the way up to here. Then you have people in the Arctic, Antarctic. Man's doctrine is that man walked all these different directions. And this is why he says man's been around 10,000 years. Because you had to walk all the way from the, what they would say the cradle of civilization is Israel area, Egypt. Although I doubt they would say Israel. And then he walked all the way on a land bridge. And he walked all the way down here. And it'd take 10,000 years to get down there. And that's what man teaches. Now that's not, and we're going to look at Yahweh's word. It is written. And, but back to consequences of obeying or disobeying Yahweh's word. You know, the pyramids of Giza, the biggest one was built first, and then the smaller ones. Did you know, according to one of Dad's, Egyptology, classes, the pyramids of Giza were built about 3000 BC? Why is that important? It would have been before the flood of Noah. We don't know if that's accurate, but that's how old these things are. Man today marveled, how in the world do they build these things? Because man says, no, man has evolved and evolved and evolved. And what are the odds right now? We are the pinnacle of creation. Now we decide what lives here. And they were dumb. They were cavemen. But now we are... here's man exalting himself again. But the pyramids, 3000 BC, 3000 years before Jesus Christ, people built those things. And if you learn anything about construction, about it was Dad's course, he was talking about the foundations that they built is incredible. Because if you have, they talk about other buildings, if the foundations weren't right, they settled, things would collapse. And here are these Egyptians building these obelisks, which is a pillar going straight up. They've been there for 3,000, 5,000, 6,000, maybe 5,000 years. How did they do it? And then we can go back to 200 years ago, and the American Indians didn't even have a wheel. How could Egyptians be so advanced? And then, but then you go down here to South America, and what would happen is, they would, man, who worships himself, they said people want, now these North Americans don't even have a wheel, right? They don't have a horse. But then you go down to South, Central America and guess what they have?
Wheels.
Pyramids. Mm-hmm. Beasts of burdens. They have keystones. What, they get really smart here? They were dumb, they got smart. I'm gonna go, what happened here? So, what happened with that and why? Why did the Romans have aqueducts? Mm-hmm. How could they build these huge... I mean, we went to go see the Colosseum and stuff, and I'm thinking, I've seen NFL stadiums. They don't have anything on this thing. You start looking how big this is, you're going to go, when was this thing built? I don't remember if it was like 200 BC or something. I forget what the times were. But at the same time, you know what Ireland was? I just watched the thing on St. Patrick. These guys were savages.
Just tribals, yeah.
Just tribal savages. How far is Ireland from Italy? It's not that far.
Just across the water.
And I heard, I can't validate this, I don't remember where I heard it, but I heard one time that the Romans, when they went to the island of Britain, they said that they would never be tamed because they're a bunch of wild people. And it was through Hadrian's Wall and stuff like that. They finally got civilized. But what is the differences of all these things? And what I'd like to, when I was watching St. Patrick, and it was showing him going and evangelizing the Irish, and they were talking about the Druids and these animal sacrifices, all kinds of different things. The thing was, is what Yahweh was really stirring up is, Aaron, the Irish didn't start that way. The Aborigines, Aborigines means indigenous, the people living down here in Australia, the savages, they didn't start that way. You look at, and we're going to go to the scripture, we're going to look, the people who are acting like savages, they devolved. by rejecting Yahweh, rejecting His Word, to the point you can look at the Irish and go, that one thing I like about the Irish is they look just like the Europeans. Mm-hmm. So what happened to them and their island? And so we'll look at the consequences of devolving. One of the things, and what we'll be looking at is that it was when man rebels, there's consequences to your rebellion. And sometimes the consequences aren't you. Sometimes it's or the big ones. It's going to be the generations after you. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen to your great grandchildren? Because did you hold the fort, or did you cave in to the lust of the flesh, to the lust of the eyes, the vain grander lives? One of the things that I was under a false impression was we have. I'm going to start naming some biblical big names. Okay, Adam. And Eve, okay. Next big name,
Abraham.
Noah. Yeah, Noah. After Noah, Abraham, right? And then you have Isaac and Jacob. But for the most part, during the time periods of these people, are they the only people on the earth?
No.
No. There's a lot of people on the earth. Adam, later on, between Adam. Adam lived 1,000 years. But then during Noah's time, there's a lot of other people. But I was under the impersonation or the impression that even during Abraham's time, he was the only one communicating with Yahweh.
Yeah.
Now, you have all the rest of the world. I used to think that, my understanding does not make sense. You can't apply reason to it. Because does it make sense that Yahweh would talk to Abraham right here, then there's people all around the world that don't have a chance to talk to Yahweh? How do they know? That's what I used to think. Thousands of generations, people just died, and here's Abraham just way over here, that's it. Turn to Genesis chapter 14, verse 18.
Chapter 14.
And so I was reading Alfred Edersheim. My father gave me his book. I think it's 1878, I think. Man, that's so cool. I'm holding his book on, man. But anyways, here's Abraham. His nephew Lot gets kidnapped. Abraham goes to war. After, you'd see that right above 14, what's that say? This is before his name's Abraham, but Milan, will you read the right above 14?
Abram pursues four kings, delivers Lot, and blessed by
Melchizedek. Who's Melchizedek? Mom, would you read 17 and 18 for me? Actually, 18 through 20. 17 through 20.
Then came forth the king of Sodom to meet him, Abraham, after his return from the smiting of Chedorlaomer, and the kings were with him, into the vale of Shaveh. The same was the vale of the king. Now Melchizedek, king of Salem, had brought forth bread and wine, he being priest of God Most High. So he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of Yahweh Most High, possessor of the heavens and the earth. And blessed be God Most High, who hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. So he gave unto him a tenth of all."
So, okay, we'll stop right there. So Abraham's going to give one tenth to this man. Who is it? It's not Elohim, it's El Most High. The priest of El Most High. Didn't say Yahweh, does it? It just says El Most High, but he's the priest of El Most High. Well, maybe. Okay, but it doesn't say Yahweh here. Page 589. Turn to 589. You can keep your finger there. Psalms 110. Chapter 4.
Verse 4.
Verse 4. Elijah, would you read that for me?
Yahweh hath sworn and will not repent. Thou shalt be a priest under time's age abiding, after the manner of Melchizedek.
And Yahweh is talking about who is going to be a priest according to the lineage of Melchizedek. Anybody know?
David?
Christ.
Christ. all other, a priest had to come from Aaron. Jesus Christ was going to come from, he's a seed of what? Who? Son of David, son of David, son of David. But how could he be a priest and a king? And they asked him that too, and he goes, I'm in the lineage of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is not a priest of a foreign god, because he would not be an example for Jesus Christ.
Right.
If Jesus Christ is going to be a type of Melchizedek, or vice versa, if Melchizedek is a type of Jesus Christ, he's a priest of who? Yahweh. At the same time, at Abraham, there's a priest of Yahweh in another spot. We never hear about this guy before.
Yeah.
What's that mean? Elishan's going to say, yeah, he was part of the remnant. Everybody worshipped Yahweh after Noah. Right? And some people want to continue to worship Yahweh. Here's the laws. Here's the rules. Here's what you do. Here's what you don't do. Remember, after Noah, before Noah, they didn't eat meat. Before Noah, there is no capital punishment. Remember Cain? If anybody avenges Cain, I think it's going to be sevenfold revenging on them. Okay. After Noah, eat everything. And there's capital punishment. And then everybody was taught, hey, do what the law says. They would also have been taught what? Why is it so important to do what Yahweh says? Besides sowing and reaping. Because there's going to be a resurrection too. It's like somebody checking your homework. Caven will read sometimes and I'm like, you read your chapters? He goes, yeah. I go, I'll give you a second. Because I'm going to go back through these chapters. I'm going to ask you some questions. Think about it. And he'll go, give me a minute. If somebody's going to be checking this, your lives, and so the remnant of Noah, they would have taught, look, you got this one life. You're going to be judged for it. This life is an audition. It's going to be gone this quick. Do we know when we're going to die? Do we know when Christ is going to come back? No. What the purpose of this life is an audition to go to the new heaven and earth. To do what? To worship Yahweh through Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And they would have taught about Yahweh. And we know that Melchizedek was a priest at a separate spot. But it wasn't until I read that about Edershon. You're going, and he was kind of explaining, of course, he was one of the remnants. I'm going, no. Everything's got to come from Abraham. Until I read that. I'm going, well, that wouldn't make sense if all these people... Now we'll turn to... So Yahweh still had a priest at the time of Abraham. How many other people were left? We don't know. The scriptures don't say, but we do know Melchizedek was there. And who knows who this is?
Adams?
Sir?
Isaac Newton.
Sir Isaac Newton.
Good hair.
Yeah, very good hair. Okay.
I can get over
He is one of the most intelligent people in history, arguably. There's other people, possibly more. But do you know what he studied more than he studied?
Physics?
Creation? It was Yahweh. Mm-hmm. It was the Word. And the reason why he didn't print his stuff about the Word is because he wouldn't tell people what they wanted to hear. He just studied the evidence. He was a scientist. But he studied Yahweh more than anything else. He invented calculus. Do you know why he invented calculus? You think somebody who invents calculus has a purpose? I'm going to make a book. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to start a whole school? Not on the biography I saw. He invented calculus because he was studying Yahweh's creation. He wanted to know how to measure tiny, tiny, tiny. He was talking about things falling and you can measure it down to a second. And he wanted to be able to measure Yahweh's creation to down to thousands and thousands and thousands. What was the purpose of, at least on the biography I got to watch on YouTube, the purpose of calculus that he invented was him trying to know the Creator. And then later on, he starts saying these things, and then he publishes it. He didn't do it and publish it. He was studying Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Who's this guy?
Homer Simpson.
He's still in grandma.
Separated at birth. Who knew, right? Okay.
That could be Abel and Cain.
You look at these two different things. What does man do? Man exalts himself, just like Satan said, I will ascend. And then all what Tim did on teaching the adversary says, you will not die, but then you'll get to know good and evil. And what Tim explained kind of opened up a whole other thing. It was almost like, or you'll get to decide what is good and evil. Doesn't that sound like man?
Yeah.
Well, who am I to say, you get to decide what's good and evil to you? Doesn't that sound what they teach today? Mm-hmm. Here's the adversary. I will ascend. I will exalt myself. And here's man exalting himself. But when we think about people all around the earth and in the world, Most of them look like Homer. Mm-hmm. What is Homer? Does Homer have forethought? Is he thinking about tomorrow, retirement plans, a resurrection? He's thinking about donuts, man. Open face sandwich. He's acting like an animal. Mm-hmm. Isaac Newton, especially if you get to study him, is not like Einstein. He's a heck of a lot better than Einstein. Einstein was intelligent, but he wasn't using... what reward is Einstein going to have in the resurrection? None. He rejects the... If you reject the Son, you reject the Father. Einstein is Antichrist. Anyone that denies the Son... Einstein, you have your reward. He was very intelligent. We reaped a lot of benefits. We got to stop a world war because of it. But that's it. Isaac Newton studied to glorify his creator. To know who is the creator. Why does he do this? He's studying light. He's studying light. All these things about light. Why? He wants to know the creator. I think about the Apostle Paul going, I want to know Christ and the fellowship of his suffering. But very good, Cain and Abel. Because... we're going to come up to Cain and Abel here in just a second. If you were going to populate an island, and the purpose of the island is to glorify Yahweh and His Son, Yehoshua Mashiach, Christ Jesus. What's the purpose of the island? To glorify the Creator, right? Okay. You get to pick two people to populate the island. Would he be one of your candidates?
No.
Would you start off with somebody who is acting like an animal? An imbecile? Or would you start off with a prototype?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who's self-sufficient. Who understands. And not just has knowledge. Because Yahweh, against the haughty, he arrayeth himself. If you exalt yourself with your knowledge, that doesn't... But here Isaac Newton lowered himself to glorify Yahweh. Who would you start the island with? Would it be somebody like this?
Yeah.
You think it would give him a good chance? Man teaches that Yahweh started a lot of this stuff with a bunch of imbeciles. They didn't even have a chance. On Polynesia. And who are these people? All they're just out there with sticks and tents. And what we're going to look at is, I don't believe he started off with imbeciles.
One thing. Everybody's a child of Noah. Eight people.
That's right. And so everybody would have known.
Yeah,
everybody would have known. And so, so that's real important because during the time of Abraham, I was thinking Abraham's the only one that Yahweh's talking to. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. There could have been other righteous people at the same time doing the same thing. It doesn't say that either.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got to hear about Melchizedek, where does this guy come from? And Edersheim goes, of course, he's one of the remnants from Noah. Still worshiping Yahweh. And he's not just one of the remnants. He's a high priest and a type of Jesus Christ. He's a big deal. It's not just, hey, Abraham, I heard Yahweh too. You know Yahweh? I know Yahweh. Okay. No. He's a prototype of Jesus Christ. Who is this guy?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, the dad was the one that did the teaching on this. He's going, man teaches that Adam and Eve were cavemen, wearing loincloths, naked. No, these guys were better than physicists. They were the prototypes. They were the first Adam. Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve would have been the smartest people on the planet, and they would have lived 1,000 years teaching people, here's physics, here's trigonometry, here's calculus. Here's anatomy and physiology. Here's medicine. And what would happen for 1,000 years? They'd be teaching their kids all this stuff, which explains the pyramids. Then what happened? And then we're to find out that man devolves, not evolves, with few exceptions. If you were going to choose somebody to populate your island, would you choose a man that is a slave to the lust of his flesh? All he can think about is pornography. Beating people up, clubbing people. That he's a thug. If he does have kids, he's going to beat them. Give me your stuff. Is that how you would start it? But that's how Ireland kind of was. That's kind of how it appears that's what Captain Cook ran into when in Hawaii. They boiled him and they gave him the bones back. I'm like, what is that all about? Going to go, so what happened? Adam and Eve, okay, turn to Genesis chapter 1. So rethinking. When my dad said that, I'm going to go. And then I read about the word kataneth, which is, it was the jacket that Joseph made Jacob. And if you look into it, I don't remember what the stems were, the qual or the hipple in the Hebrew, but the jacket, it was a colorful coat, right? Not necessarily. The kataneth was like what the Levitical order of Aaron, the priest, would have worn. It said when Joseph put on this jacket, he meant this is the blessing. He is the chosen one. And it's not just a nice jacket. It would have been, he's like the high priest or something. Also, the word, the tunics of skin that Adam and Eve were given, guess what? It's the same word, kataneth. So you want to know what Adam and Eve probably looked like? Well, who designed the clothing that Aaron wore?
Yahweh.
Yahweh did. Who gave Adam and Eve their clothes?
Yahweh.
Yahweh designed. It's the same designer, man. Just like Gucci. Probably look the same. What do they look like? You probably would have the hat, the head, the clothing. Here's the rest of the stuff. And who would have been the high priest for Cain and Abel? It would have been Adam. It didn't say it was Eve, but I would assume it would have been Adam. But let's see here. Chapter 1, verse 24 in Genesis. This is another real important thing that Dad brought up. Chapter 1, let's see here, verse 24, we're not going to read through all there because I'm going to try to cover a lot of territory. But 24 through 20, or 31, what's the conclusion of 31? And Elohim saw everything that was which he had made, and lo, it was very good. So it was evening and it was morning the sixth day. On the sixth day, on verse 24, this is the sixth day at the very beginning of it. Let the lamb bring forth living souls after its kind, tame beasts. Yahweh created beasts before he created Adam and Eve. Man was just created on the sixth day, but the beasts were. Both of them were created on what day? The sixth day. And Yahweh says they were sons of Elohim in the image of who were they created? Let's see here. You can read through here. Oh, verse 26. And Elohim said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And if you look in the Gospel of Luke, it says so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so. And if your dad's a monkey, what does that make you?
Monkey.
If your dad's a giraffe, what does it make you?
Giraffe.
And it says, and Elohim or Yahweh begot Adam. What does that make him? He's a son of Elohim, a son of an Elohim. But it was up to Adam and Eve, a creation on the sixth day, to either live like a beast or to live like a son of Elohim. And what did Cain choose to do?
Beast.
Envy. Like Lucifer. Like Judas. He murders his brother. Was Cain thinking about a resurrection? Immediate gratification. Lust of the flesh. Abel, in Hebrews 11, we can turn there real quick. 11:4. And the first person that gets there, you can just read it. So try to cover a lot of territory without running over. I want to put you guys asleep.
You want me to read 4?
Yeah, 11 verse 4.
By faith, a fuller sacrifice did Abel offer unto Yahweh than Cain, through which he received witness that he was righteous, there being a witness upon his gift by Yahweh, and through it, though he died, he yet is speaking.
What does Yahweh say Abel was? He was righteous. Both of them will be resurrected. Cain will be thrown into the lake of fire. Abel was righteous. We got a position for you. Here's your position, Abel. Abel chose to live like a son of Elohim. Cain chose to live like an animal. There's something called a law of thermal dynamics. So this was the John Shea and I did teaching on this too. The law of thermal dynamics means if you leave something alone, you know what happens? If we leave this house for 60 years, and then you come back to this house, you open up the door, do you think it's in better state or worse state?
Worse
state. The law of thermodynamics is everything is dissolving or breaking down. Things are getting worse. They're not getting better unless you upkeep it. That's called the law of thermodynamics. They're not getting better. With man, with Adam, with creation, you start off with the pinnacle, the smartest there ever was, and then what happens between Adam and Noah?
Yeah, that's what it is.
The majority of the earth is living like a what? Beasts.
Cain.
You have the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst. And it wasn't until Dad found out something. Dad's always digging in the archives. I like to think of Granddad being an archaeologist. He goes crawling in these caves and these things. And he comes out. I found something. I'm like, what did you find? He dusts it off. I go, well, call me when you got it cleaned up. I'll come take a look at it. He dusts it off and he goes, and here it was. Did you know that Noah was a preacher, or it's called a proclaimer? Did you know that?
No.
I didn't know that. I'm reading something that Dad found that E.W. Bolinger wrote. It says Noah was a preacher or a proclaimer. Hmm. How big was his congregation?
Eight,
including him.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We got one more than his whole congregation. We got one more. How successful? Well, where's your mega church? Look at the. How successful are you? How successful do you think Noah felt? Do you think he had pressure to cave?
Yeah.
But what would he have done? This life is a vapor. There's going to be a resurrection. This life's going to be over, and what's your position going to be? Worthy with little, worthy with much. Can you save money? And then you're not going to have money in the new earth.
Yeah.
Can you work out? Yes, you can work out. Good. There'll be positions for that. And then the thing is to be training, the studying. Can you teach? No, I'm not good at it. He's not just saying do what you're good at, but we'd be training. He's going to need positions. He's going to need teachers. He's going to need accountants. There's going to be a city that's bigger than the state of Texas. Okay? So this whole life is going to be there's job positions. And what job position do you want? I'm getting ahead of myself, and this competition thing really makes a lot of people uncomfortable because they want socialism. But Jesus, the rich young ruler, came to Jesus Christ and said, what do I need to do to go to heaven? No. What did he say? To receive what?
Life, age,
abiding. And they never came to Jesus and said, what do I got to do to go to heaven? He said, life, age, abiding. Life. And Jesus Christ said, do the Ten Commandments, do this, okay? Yeah. And he goes, but one thing you're lacking, as I used to pick on the young rich ruler, but at least he addressed what he was lacking. Have you ever gone to Yahweh and said, what am I lacking? We'll have that conversation. He goes, give up all your riches and be following me. Jesus Christ wasn't telling everybody to follow him, because the man at Decapolis wanted to follow him. He says, no. Go witness to the people of Decapolis. But this man was missing one thing. And then he turned, because the guy, is he good? Probably going to be saved? Yeah. But man, he possibly could have a really big position. How many people did Jesus Christ say, follow me? Okay, well, that was one of them. This guy missed out. He'll probably suffer some loss at the resurrection, it would appear. But then he goes, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a wealthy man to go, and the disciples go, not feeling motivated, man. Not feeling motivated. Who speaks up? Anybody know?
Peter.
Peter goes, we've given up everything. A lot of Christians, I don't need rewards. I don't need encouragement. Well, read the book. I had one guy, he goes, I don't need rewards. And I go, really? He goes, no, I just do it because I love him. I go, speak in tongues. Well, that went out with the apostles. How convenient. The rewards is to get you past things you don't want to do. But Jesus Christ, when Peter says, we gave up everything for you. Do you think you might have been feeling disappointed? Mm-hmm. What did Jesus Christ say? You will receive what? 12 thrones. Mm-hmm. 12 thrones to be judging or ruling. Whew. There's a kingdom coming. Wow, okay, so that's pretty neat. Turn to Genesis chapter 10. You have the flood. What happens with all these people after Noah? The people that are living on the earth, they're getting a chance. Who wants to go to the new earth? And what it says, a new earth, which is important, the new earth in the book of Revelation, Dad got to break down the word. It's not new in time, it's new in quality. So sometimes you get a new house. Okay, so it could be the exact same earth that Yahweh refurbishes it, but all the time during Noah's time, who wants to go? Nobody. They had their reward. They're acting like Conan the Barbarian or whatever. Worse than that, the only people wanted to go is Jonah. Okay, you guys all. Okay, last call. But then what we have, Genesis chapter 10 verse 25. Oh, I forgot to read something. Now we'll go ahead and chapter 10, verse 25. Let's see here. It's page 41. But stay here for a second. one of the first things that Yahweh told, he commanded Adam and Eve was be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. There it is. 1 verse 28. What was the purpose of Adam and Eve? Be fruitful, be multiply, fill the earth. Fill the earth. What does that mean? Go. Go. Go, right? Now, Genesis chapter 10, verse 25. Would somebody read that for me?
And to Abner were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. The name of his brother was Joktan.
Okay, right there. Yahweh did divide the continents. And people say, look, because you can see, look, Africa, this all this stuff lines up. They call it a continental drift. No, it's a continental division. Why do I say that? Because that's what Yahweh called it. It's a division. Well, you can't divide stuff that quick. There'd be hurricanes and tidal waves and tsunamis. Right? How do you feel about a virgin birth? Hold on a second. I gotta rethink this. Yahweh went, and guess what we have? Continents, islands, everywhere. We've got all these things divided. You know, and then we turn to the next page. What's the problem going on with man again? They're acting like beasts again. And chapter 4, Esther, would you read 11 verse 4?
Mm-hmm. Chapter 4?
Chapter 11 verse 4.
And they said, come on, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower with its heads in the heavens. So let us make for ourselves a name, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of all the earth.
Or you could say, so we don't have to obey Yahweh and fill the earth. What are they doing? They're rebelling again. And I think it was Josephus says they were going to try to build the tower so they could survive a flood. So Yahweh couldn't say that. Chapter verse, it didn't say that. But it did say they're not going to fill the earth. What does Yahweh do? You guys are killing me, man! Fill the earth! Go out there, conquer it! Fulfill your purpose! There's oil! There's iron! There's gold! There's diamonds! There's whales! There's coral reefs! Think about the stuff that we're still learning. What's the purpose of creation? Is to glorify Yahweh? There's all kinds of creations out there. And you guys won't... And so what does Yahweh do? Verse 8... So Yahweh scattered them from thence over what?
The face of the earth.
11 verse 8. And people would have woke up and I'm in Hawaii or in Africa or the Eskimos, the Inuits. And I believe also that Dad did a teaching on that too, that he would have... There's, you know, they say, well, the Africans have dark skin because they've been in that climate for so long and their skin's adapted. Because the South Africans, the white South Africans, have been down there since 1600s. I went and visited my friends at Cape Town. And guess what they look like? Just like me. 400 years, their skin hasn't gotten any darker. No, when Yahweh would have separated them, he would have equipped them. What's the purpose? Fulfill your calling. And would he start off Hawaii with a bunch of Conan the Barbarian rapists, pillages? Or would he put somebody there like a Newton? If you were Yahweh, would you put a priest there like Melchizedek?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To teach him about a resurrection? Mm-hmm. Now, doesn't that make sense? Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So what Yahweh did is he split everybody. And then I believe that the dad had a great... And so you can imagine the Eskimos waking up in an igloo. Now they're... hey, you're 3 feet shorter. You got a really big nose. Yeah, so are you. Where'd you get this jacket? It's made out of that. Looks like that animal. Where'd you get these gloves? Looks like that animal also. They would have came outside, possibly had dog sleds. Then all they had to do is do the same thing, right? Fulfill the earth. So Yahweh snapped it, scattered everything. But when he scattered the people, he didn't set them up for failure. The purpose is fulfill your calling. Glorify Yahweh. Seek out the earth, its splendor. Go find my treasures. Seek me out. Because when we seek creation like Newton, we are glorifying the Creator. Look at this. Look at that. So on these islands in Africa and in China and all these different places, there would have been Melchizedeks. There would have been priests. So what happened? You can live like a son of Elohim, or you can live like a man. What's easier? If your mom was not in the house for a month, what do you think your kids would act like? You might last a week. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. But I knew how I was. Mom and dad were out of town. It was a good time. And I was like, God, I'd be so tempted not to stay up too late. Not to eat dad's chocolate cookies. All the rest of these things are going to go, the consequences. What happens is, what's easier? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, Van Grander. No, what happens if Vegas stays in Vegas? Come on, man. You feel be merry. There's no resurrection. Come on, man. No, we just die and go back to the earth. There's no judgment. You're not going to be held accountable. You start hearing it. Faith comes by hearing. So does doubt and lies. Nobody's going to see it looking at naked pictures of people on here. Nobody. Ooh, man. That's why you got to rebuke that stuff. So I rebuke in the name of Jesus Christ. It's going to be on a big screen in front of my Lord. And I will suffer loss. I won't lose it, but I'll be there. I had that one time I was witnessing to guys about sexual purity and sexual this and that. As I was witnessing to them, I'm going, what's coming out of my mouth?
Why, it's fine.
As I was witnessing and teaching them, I'm being held to a higher accountability. As these things come out of my mouth, I'm going, ooh. That's why you witness. You know what Yahweh did? Not only witness to them, now I knew they were going to be watching me. And guess what happened? All of a sudden, something goes to mind. I go, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ. One day I'm going to be standing in front of you. And you'll see everything I did. I'll no reward for that, but I rebuke that thought. I kill it. Ha, ha, ha. And then I started confronting the stupid thoughts. Cave and come here. You okay, Dad? Okay, it's four. I'm fine. Just leave. What's going on there? Don't worry about it. I'm doing some serious warfare here. This life is this long. You can live like a beast. You can live like the new man. You can live like the prototype, Jesus Christ. Isaac Newton was a type, but Isaac Newton wasn't Christ. But he's the type of Christ. He was somebody fulfilling his calling. You get to see what happens is when we pursue Yahweh and His Word is knowledge. Knowledge will set us free, but it separates us from our friends and our comfort zone. But if you don't separate, how will they know they're wrong? Man, there's going to be a test for this. When Christ comes back, we have the continental shift, the Tower of Babel. Now they can't even speak to each other. Holy moly. Can you imagine waking up? We don't know how it worked. If you ever been in a foreign country and nobody speaks the same language, I was in South Africa and I was in Kenya and I'm sitting there speaking it. Man, it's perfect for me because I'm a daydreamer. I'm like, 3 hours go by, I'm like, oh, what are you guys talking about, right? You can imagine with Babel, we can't communicate. Yahweh splits them. They got a new language. Get to work. But I believe that he would start with Machiels, the next, or possibly priests. And the purpose is, there's a purpose to your life, guys. They weren't set up for failure. So the people in Ireland devolved to get that bad. They got that bad. The Chinese, the Indonesians, the Americans. I'm Irish, Scottish. And even the English, these guys were heathens, at least what it sounded like. Turn to Psalms chapter 145, or the 145th Psalm. The 145th Psalm, verse 17, which is real important. Okay, not which is real important. That's an incomplete sentence. It is written. It is written. It is written. Somebody asks you a question. I don't know the answer to that. You don't have to answer all the questions, but you can't say, I don't know what that means, but I can tell you what it doesn't mean. How could this happen? How could this happen? How can these cannibals over here in Polynesia, they didn't even have a chance? Did you ever think that? I used to think that. They didn't have a chance. They would have been the consequences of their forefathers. Whose fault is it? The people that were before you. You guys devolved, you devolved, you devolved. But we do know what? What's it say in that verse? Somebody read 145.
Righteous is Yahweh in all His ways, and kind in all His works.
Yahweh is righteous. Everybody is going to get a chance. And like Romans 1 says, and the dad is teaching on that too. Everybody comes pre-programmed with the app. You have the app. Everybody knows there's a creator. Everybody already knows you love your neighbor as yourself. You don't have to teach people that. And so everybody's going to get a chance. So even the people with the cannibals and stuff like this, they could have went off on the side and said, Father, there's a creator, and they're trying to do it. Is Yahweh going to see their heart? Absolutely. Matthew chapter 25. I used to think about the evangelism and go to these different countries, and then people say, well, what makes you right and them wrong? Because this is their religion, and you're telling them to change. Actually, no, we're calling them back.
Yeah.
Because it is written. Yahweh didn't just scatter people and they didn't have a chance to know who he was. The purpose of mankind is to pursue him. That's why they're created. Does somebody planting an orchard, does he plant a tree with a purpose? Yeah. Man was created with a purpose. When he scattered, they had a choice. Then they created their own religions. Usually why? Because less eyes, less of the flesh, vain, grander life. And they devolved. And then the less, even with me, with sexual morality or this stuff, I didn't ask for that. Whose fault is it? I was sold into slavery by Adam and Eve. I got to deal with it. So are these people. And Yahweh will look at it. You didn't ask for that, but you get to slay the dragon, though. David didn't start Goliath, but he got to cut the head off it, right? Matthew chapter 25, verse 13. Let's see. Now, so we're talking about, you know, the history of man, the world, the purpose of your life, the purpose of my life. Where are we going? I like to think we're going to Colorado someplace. We'll stop at gas stations, and especially when you guys are younger, they get distracted at the gas station. Before we got to Estes Park, and they'd be tempted to buy things at a cheap gas station. The money is saved up, but ooh, I want this. I'm like, no, you don't. We're just stopping through here. Save your money. No, I really want it. I really want it. No, you don't. We're just stopping through this life. We're just stopping through this life. Can you imagine a billion years? No. A million years? No. It's going to be like this. Christ is going to come back. And he gives us to say, look, he will reward you. Chapter 25, verse 13. Jesus Christ is doing a parable. Be watchful, therefore, because you know neither the day nor the hour. Now, he's not talking about the body of Christ with these parables. He's talking about Israel, which would be the bride. We're the body. We're not the bride. We're the body of Christ. And the bride is Israel. But he's saying you don't know when the undercover boss is coming. And he goes on to say, a just man who was going home called his own servants, says verse 14, and delivered them up his substance. And one indeed gave 5 talents, another 2 talents, another 1. And each according to his particular ability. And then he comes back. The guy that he shows back up. The guy gave 5 talents. Why did he get 5? According to his ability. Mm-hmm. He could handle 5. Mm-hmm. Yahweh gives us stuff. Well, why didn't he give me like Isaiah did or Elijah? Mm-hmm. Probably your ability yet. Prove it. The guy who got 5 doubled his money. Mm-hmm. That's a good return. I'm a financial advisor. 100% hired. The guy who gave 3 talents doubled his money too. Match comes back and double the money. All right. What do you say? I think they get... Is this where they get the kingdoms or the cities? Might not be.
Kingdom of 5 is get the cities.
Yeah. But then we go down to the one who was not thinking about a resurrection. Let me see here.
24.
Okay. Would you read that?
But he also, who the 1 talent had received, coming forward, said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not winnowed, and overcome with fear, I went away and hid thy talent in the ground. See, thou hast what is thine.
And his Lord answered and said unto him, you notice the people that reject Yahweh and Jesus Christ? I got rebuked by somebody, an unbeliever recently, because he was mocking Kenneth Copeland by COVID-19. He blows, and he's like, what an idiot, and he had all these funny things on him. I go, I posted, I said, I don't agree with everything with Kenneth Copeland, but if your son's dying from cancer, God forbid, or your wife, Kenneth Copeland's the type of person you're going to want to go to. Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, I guess I'll burn in hell just like Kenneth Copeland will because of all his money or something like that. And then he went on burning in hell and the rest of the stuff. What did this guy call it? I know that you're evil and wicked. People will do that to justify. They're going to say, oh, God, if God's so good, why does he do this? Why does he do that? And you go, I'm not wasting any more time with you. But with the guy with the 1 talent, the guy didn't even spend it. I have been given 1 talent, and I spent it. Mm-hmm. This guy didn't spend it. And he's called wicked and cowardly. What'd you do with it? I like to think, can you save money? Working on it. Can't save money. you're not going to have any money. You're not going to be... So the whole thing is to start saving money or stop spending or start listening. That'd be me. And start practicing on what position you're going to get. And in this case, you'll go, okay. And so the point isn't to push other people down. It's about Christ is coming back. What job do you want? And then I think how well that how disciplined I've been because my mother and my father raised me disciplined. But this is nothing. How disciplined I am with saving money and stuff compared to Donald Trump, Hobby Lobby. These guys got billions of dollars of assets. Can they handle it? Yeah, according to their abilities. We training, but becoming like sons of Elohim. When Jesus Christ came, there was a loss of identity because he spoke to the seas and they said, what manner of man is this? That even the sea gives ears. The Rothschild said. And they marveled. He was acting the way Adam would have acted in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But they had never seen it. Mm-hmm. And so the whole thing is, and that's how we're supposed to be acting. And it doesn't mean we arrived, but get started working on it. Because at the resurrection, guess what we're going to be doing?
Judging.
Probably speaking to weather, speaking to animals, speaking to things like Jesus Christ. And we're not going to have nearly the problem that we have, but there's going to be a lot of work, a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Man was created to work. Work? Wait a minute. I don't want to work. Of course you do. Your father, Yahweh, worked 6 days. You're created in his image. The purpose of you is to work. So Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. Page 612. And this is one I'm far from probably even 50% of what I could be, but I'm working. I've at least left the building. But I used to have this with Word of Promise. I recorded this on Word of Promise, and then I set it as my ringtone, as my alarm clock.
Yeah, good one.
Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise. Oh, man, wake up hearing that. Because I didn't want to get up in the morning.
Yeah.
Observe her ways and be wise, which have no harvest, scribe or ruler prepared for the summer. Her food hath collected in the harvest her substance. How long, O sluggard, wilt thou lie? How long, ere wilt thou rise from thy sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. I'd be still sleeping sometimes. I'd still be hearing the alarm clock, and then go... And this is the part that I'd kick the covers off, the next part. So shall come in as a highwayman that poverty. I'm up! I don't want to be broke! I don't want to be broke! I gotta get up! Why are people broke? Who makes people poor?
Themselves.
Who tells people not to save? If somebody refuses to save, whose fault is that?
Their own.
Now, you could be living in a place, if you have anything to save, you're going to get robbed. Okay. You might, when at the resurrection, you might be able to get away with it. But a lot of people, I think David said that with his church, they're living hand to mouth. Whose fault is that? I don't know. But if you're not saving, then you're living more like a beast. What was the difference between Rome and Ireland? Rome was wicked, with the exception they got righteous with Constantine, the Roman. But what did the Romans do that was different than the Irish? Forethought. You're saving. You're planting. They did predictable taxation instead of just give me your money like regular tax collectors, like rape and pillage, like the Vikings and stuff. At least the Romans, you knew when they're going to be taxed. Why would they do that? Forethought. It is more productive to keep these people working and tax over 20 years than to kill them and take all their property. It's just self-preservation. But even the Romans and the Egyptians and the Greeks had forethought to go, look, I at least want this to last a little bit here. Let me see here. So, like... So now when we look at cannibals, when we look at some of the stuff, you know, the Irish, which was kind of new to me, because you don't think of Caucasians being, the Brits were the same way, I guess. So you're going to say, why are they living that way? But when we look at those things, let it be a lesson to us what happens when you deviate from the word of Yahweh?
Yeah.
How do they get that way? That's how far away their forefathers. You look at it, and you're going to go, golly, you think about the Indians. You're going to say, boy, they really got that far away. How did this start? It's just slow fade, just a slow fade, and it's just a slow fade. We could be like Hezekiah when they found the scroll of the law. He ripped his clothes. Man, that was wonderful. Let me see here. There's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And so the whole book is not about Jesus Christ. I used to think that. The whole book is about Yahweh. And the majority of it is about his son reconciling things back to him, himself, the creation back to his creator. And without Christ Jesus, there is no way back to Yahweh. But let's see here, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's see, 22. So this is going to be the story of the first Adam, the last Adam. And we don't have to, we're going to read, we don't have to, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you're going to get to see that Jesus Christ is going to be the second Adam or the last Adam. And it's going to say in verse 24, I guess, afterwards, the end, whensoever he delivered up the kingdom unto his God and Father, who's God and Father?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ or Yehoshua. At the end of all of his work, he's going to give up the kingdom, after the 1,000-year millennium in the book of Revelation, to his God and Father, whensoever he shall bring to naught all rule and authority and power, for he must needs reign until he shall put all his enemies under his feet. As a last enemy, death is to be destroyed. For he put all things in subjection his feet. So Yahweh is holy. Yahweh can't be around wickedness. He can't be around death. He can't be around those things. And when Adam and Eve brought death into the earth, is almost like Yahweh got evicted unless somebody got holy enough that Yahweh could come back and live with them. Jesus Christ, he touched a coffin. You can't touch a coffin and be clean. You'd be unclean. What was Jesus Christ doing? He's cleansing Yahweh's earth in preparation of what? The rest of this. After the rapture, the final destination. And then verse 28. Let me see. Oh, I guess where did I stop? But whensoever it shall be said, all things are in subjection, it is evident that it means, except him who did put into subjection unto him the all things. But whensoever have been put into subjection unto him the all things, then the Son himself also shall be put into subjection unto him, who's that? Yahweh. Who put in subjection all things, the all things, that God may be all things in all. And then you can keep reading, but this is going to be the conclusion, and then it goes back to 51, lowest sacred secret, the resurrection. And then eventually we're all going to be back in the Garden of Eden. And so we can look at Isaac Newton's, we can look at Homer Simpson's, look at people living like animals and stuff. And we can look at the Irish or whatever, and let it be a reminder, when you deviate from the Word, you're going down the same path as their forefathers. And so even when Dad refound Yahweh's name, I didn't want it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what the heck he was talking about. I was sitting right there. I thought my dad was ludicrous. He kept saying Yahweh, 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 and then he changed the song books. How far is this going to go? Come on! So what was I thinking? My comfort. Hey, I'm just not comfortable with that. My dad was preparing for the resurrection. Going to go, look, he's in the room. And we change, and then that was also Joseph Rotherham when he was with his wife. She goes, "How many times are we going to change?" And Joseph Rotherham told his wife, "Until we're right." Isn't that a great way for us to end our life?
Yeah.
We change until we're right, and then we'll be right. Okay. We thank you, Father, for your words. We thank you that you hear us. We thank you that you are living inside your Son Christ Jesus, or Mashiach Yehoshua. We thank you that Colossians 1:27 says Christ is in us, the hope of glory. We thank you that we are the Debir of the living Elohim. We thank you that Jacob slept and he thought, surely Elohim is in this place. Well, now we have Christ because of your work and because your son's work. You live inside of us. And you'll confirm us on what we are to do or not to do and encourage us the way we're to go, and also to inspire us how many people will follow in our footsteps. So we thank you for these words. It is time for you to break free from your comfort zone and run to me. Quit worrying about what's going to happen to other people. I know about everybody on the planet that has ever existed. I have a plan for everybody. And some of those people, they're never going to turn. They're never going to turn. They have their reward. They don't want me. But I've called you by name, and your heart has listened, and tears come down your face because it's true, and you truly do. But the separation between you and the people you're normally around is making you uncomfortable. Don't look at what you're giving up. Look at what you're gaining, which is with me, and the rewards will overflow. And then I'll take care of all the desires of your heart. Amen. All right. Amen.